Welcome to the Grace Fellowship Church of Ephrata podcast. Our desire is to help you grow in your journey with Jesus, no matter where you are. For more information, please check out our website at www.gfchurch.net.
I have a lot of time today, so I want to kind of just get directly into it. Every now and then, I come across a story, whether it's on like Facebook or one of my random Google deep dives, and I'll like save it in the back of my mind for a sermon illustration. That was a note from Dan to start doing that. So I've been doing that for a little over a year now, and I came across this one, and it felt pretty apt to this season of life, this whole Thanksgiving season. And so there was this woman. And she was at a grocery store with her toddler trying to get a few things before heading home. And when she got to the checkout, she had loaded everything in, and then she put her card in, and she heard that, like, card declined sound. And at this, for some reason, her toddler starts losing his mind. If any of you, I'm not a parent, but I have worked with kids for most of my life. If any parent ever experienced the entire just, you can't say anything to calm this kid down tantrum. That's what's happening here. This woman is experiencing not being able to pay for her groceries, and her child is going crazy. And so this man behind her steps forward and says, "It's okay, I'll cover it," slides his card into the machine. It's like over $100 worth of groceries. And then, you know, she like quickly, frantically leaves the store. Her kid's still screaming his head off. And then she's calling her bank. She's like, why is my card declining? Apparently it was like suspicious activity. Somebody had tried to buy something for like $4 in China or something. And she's like, all right, I'll come back in and I'll thank him after I, you know, get my kid to calm down. But anyway, she intended to come back and thank him properly, but by the time she got to her car, her life had started to kind of pile on. She had another kid to pick up. She had dinner to get made. She had laundry that needed done. Work emails were waiting. And then hours went by, days went by, weeks went by, and she never went back to thank that man. And right now, this season that we're living in almost feels like it's made for gratitude. I mean, we just had a special time this morning where many of you shared what you were thankful for. And we spent time with family and friends celebrating God's provision and goodness. But here's the question. What happens when the celebration ends and the regular stresses of life return? When turkey and mashed potatoes are replaced by bills and deadlines, work schedules, school projects, traffic, chores, etc. When the joy of the holiday becomes just another week on the calendar, it's easy to let gratitude slip. Just like that woman in the grocery store, a gap starts to form. And this morning, I want to talk about that gap that forms. For the purpose of this morning, we're going to call it the gratitude gap. And to do that, I want to camp out in Luke 17 this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, it's going to be Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. It's going to be on the screen behind me. It's also in your bulletins. You know all the jazz we say every week. Scan it. Get on the app. It's fun. Everyone's doing it. All right, so here's the story. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, these 10 men, they had leprosy, which is this skin disease that is what's a nice way to put it? Yucky. That's a good way. Anyway, in the ancient world, it was devastating. Beyond just physical suffering, it isolated people socially and like religiously. Lepers were considered unclean and forced to live apart from their family, their work, their community life. And their disease was not only painful, it stripped them of their dignity. And these 10 men were desperate at this point. And they knew that Jesus had the power to heal, and so they called out to him from a distance because their disease barred them from even coming close to Jesus. And Jesus didn't just show mercy. In this moment, he gives clear instructions. He says, go show yourselves to the priests. And their obedience, even before being healed, is ultimately a sign of faith in it. Even before seeing the result, that's demonstrated faith. And as they go, they are healed. And the key part here is that only one of the 10 turns around and returns to Jesus to give him thanks. Now, I'm a youth pastor, so I like asking questions to the crowd. Was there something interesting about this one man that returned? He was a Samaritan, right? Does anybody know what that means? So, during this culture, the Samaritans were very much looked down upon, especially by the Jewish culture. They did not get along. And so he was an outsider. And he had leprosy. So he was an outsider among outsiders. And this outsider demonstrated what the 9 insiders seemed to miss: recognition of the one who gave them the blessing. How often do we, like the 9 lepers, receive God's blessing but fail to return to him in gratitude? Whether life pulls you in so many directions, busyness, responsibilities, whatever, and we forget to pause and just say thank you. See, gratitude isn't just a polite thought, it's an action. It's returning to God, acknowledging him as the source of every blessing, and letting that gratitude shape our lives. Like I mentioned earlier, the space between being blessed and responding in gratitude is what is called the gratitude gap. And the 9 lepers demonstrate how easy it is to receive God's mercy and then immediately go back to life without returning to him. This gap shows up everywhere. In our lives, in our relationships, and even our spiritual practices if we aren't careful. And Jesus' question here, where are the other 9, is not just historical curiosity. It's not just Jesus asking. He already knew. We know that he knows things. It's a mirror. It's a mirror for them back then, but also a mirror for us today. Are we returning to God with thanksgiving? Are we walking away distracted, too busy, too focused on life to acknowledge the one who blessed us in the first place? This gap, like I said, shows up in a lot of places. Today, I want to look at 3 ways that this gap shows up. The first here is gratitude without action. Think about the 9 lepers. They were healed, but they didn't return. They probably felt thankful in the moment, but they didn't act on it. And we're the same way. Maybe a friend helps you during a hard season, or God answers a prayer, or someone blesses you unexpectedly. You feel grateful. Maybe you even talk about it in your head or make a plan to go say thank you, but you never do. You never take action, never pass the blessing forward. It's received, but that's where the gratitude stops. James 2:17 says that faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Gratitude is the same way. If it never moves beyond our thoughts, it doesn't change us, and it doesn't bless anyone else. Imagine someone goes out of their way for you, and you just walk away. That's exactly what the 9 lepers did. See, we can receive mercy or help and fail to return to God in acknowledgement, but true gratitude should always push you towards action. Second way this shows up is that busyness has a way of pulling us away. Life pulls us in 100 directions. Just like the woman at the grocery store, we intend to pause and give thanks, but the rhythm of our life overtakes us. Work, errands, family, deadlines. Suddenly, our gratitude fades into background noise. This reminds me of a book that I was assigned to read in college, and I initially kind of pawned it off as just some random thing that my teacher was trying to get me to read. And it's called The Practice of the Presence of God. For those of you who don't know, this book was written by a monk in the 16th century. So I was like, what do I have to learn about a monk from over 400 years ago? Apparently a lot. So as I read it, I didn't really see, Brother Lawrence is the name of the monk, by the way. I didn't really see a monk anymore. I started to see myself. See, he wasn't a teacher. He didn't lead prayers or preach sermons. He was a dishwasher. And coincidentally, at that time, I was working in the dish room at Lancaster Bible College. I understood the chaos of a dinner service, the steam, the clatter of pots, the yelling, the rush. I understood the mess, the mundane. And I also understood his view on the busyness of life. You see, he discovered that God isn't only in the big, extraordinary moments. He's in the ordinary. He's in the messy, in the repetitive. See, Brother Lawrence trained himself to see God in every action, in every dish that he scrubbed. He called it the practicing the presence of God. And funnily enough, Jesus actually taught a similar principle in Luke chapter 10, where during this time, he is visiting the house of Mary and Martha. And he says this. He said to Martha, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better." In context, Martha was frustrated because Mary wasn't helping with the work that she believed, that Martha believed had to be done. Like there was cleaning to do, there was meals to prepare. And all Mary was doing was just sitting on the floor looking at Jesus. And then Jesus gently pointed out that busyness can distract us from the most important thing. That's being present with him, noticing his work and responding. We can do the same, even in traffic or doing dishes like Brother Lawrence did. We can pause, we can notice God and acknowledge his blessings. Practicing his presence keeps those blessings from slipping by unnoticed, and it transforms the mundane into a space for worship and gratitude. The final way that the gratitude gap shows up in our lives is this idea that we tend to focus on ourselves, our own self-focus. Think about the 9 lepers. They were all healed, every single one of them. Or 10 lepers, sorry. Think about the 10 lepers. The others likely walked away thrilled to be well again, excited to get back to their lives, their routines. They received mercy, but they never paused to acknowledge the giver. Their gratitude remained internal, self-focused, and ultimately incomplete. That's something we see in our own lives all the time. I hate to break it to you, if nobody's ever told you this before, but you're selfish. We are all selfish. Whether we want to admit it or not, and when God answers a prayer or blesses us financially, spiritually, relationally, or provides something, our instinct is often to celebrate quietly for ourselves. We notice the blessing, enjoy it, maybe even marvel at it for a moment, but we don't stop to reflect on the source. We rarely step outside of our own world long enough to say, "This isn't about me, it's about him." Even when we're aware of our blessings, our gratitude is often short-lived. Life pulls us back into our own concerns, our own routines. And the focus is on how that blessing can serve us, not on recognizing the person who gave us the blessing in the first place. See, in this way, the gratitude gap isn't just about forgetting to thank God or others. It's about the default posture of our hearts. Self-focus keeps us from fully appreciating the blessings. It keeps gratitude from moving past ourselves. And it's a reminder that if we're honest, We are wired to center on our own comfort, our own schedules, our own needs, even in the face of extraordinary mercy. So, when we step back and look at the story of the lepers, or the business of our own lives, and our natural tendency to focus on ourselves, one thing becomes clear. We are easily distracted from gratitude. We can be blessed and still walk away without noticing the giver. We can experience mercy and forget to pause. We can receive abundance and let it fade into the background while life just keeps rushing by. Well, how do we stop ourselves from getting trapped in this gratitude gap? I have good news. I didn't just come up here to lambast you guys for 15 minutes. I'm guilty of this as well, just to be perfectly clear. But how do we fail to fall into this trap, or not let ourselves fall into this trap? Well, that brings us to our main point this morning, and it's all about how we intentionally do things. Don't let gratitude become background noise is our main point this morning. When we allow gratitude to fade into the chaos, blessings lose their power. Our hearts drift toward entitlement and distraction. When we pause, even for a moment, and notice God's work in our lives, gratitude wakes up our hearts. It sharpens our perspectives, and it keeps us alive to His goodness. Since this is the holiday season, it's the perfect time to practice this. We've all just celebrated blessings around a table and reflected on God's goodness. But the real challenge is not letting that gratitude disappear once life resumes its normal pace. Kids, you go back to school tomorrow, right? Or Tuesday? Tuesday. This week. You go back to school this week. What happens when you go back to school? Does life take over, or do you remain grateful? People go back to work tomorrow. Some people. Same question. Are you as grateful sitting around the Thanksgiving table as you are sitting at your desk on Monday morning? So I have a simple, hopefully convicting, challenge for you this week. Every day, take just 1 minute, one full minute, and intentionally notice a blessing in your life. Quietly say thank you to God. That's it. 1 minute. No pressure, no extra tasks, no obligation. Just a conscious, personal acknowledgement of God's goodness in the middle of your day. The best way to close the gratitude gap is to remember that everything we have points back to God. He is our creator, He is our giver, and ultimately, He is our Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts that are often distracted. Forgive us for the times we receive your blessings and let them pass by unnoticed. Forgive us for the moments we experience your mercy, provision, or joy, and fail to pause and say thank you. Lord, we ask that you help us to close this gap in our lives. Teach us to recognize your hand at work in the ordinary and the extraordinary, in the chaos and in the calm. Help us, like Mary, to choose what is better, to be present with you, to notice your blessings, and to let gratitude awaken our hearts. Lord, remind us daily that every good thing comes from you, and that our hearts are the happiest and most joyfully alive when we pause to acknowledge you. Give us the discipline to take every single minute and point it back to you. Amen.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. If you would like prayer, you can send your prayer request into prayer@gfchurch.net, and we will pray for you. If you like this message, don't forget to subscribe on the podcast app, Google, or Spotify. Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to seeing you next week.